Our text that I'll read is Romans 5, verse 17. If you look at your bulletins, you will see that the sermon is really about chapters 4 to chapters 8 of Romans. We'll look at various passages, but I think Romans 5, 17 gives us an idea of the power of the life of Christ in the life of a believer. Romans 5, verse 17 is the living word of the living God. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Let us pray that he would open his word to us. The Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence through your word, through the Holy Spirit, and through prayer, we pray, God, that you would open our eyes, our mind, and help us to understand, not only in thinking, but in experience, the power of the resurrection and the glory that comes with it. Father, I pray that you would bring us into the very heavens itself, that you would teach us by your word, through your Spirit. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, in the early church, in this true display of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not a doctrine to acknowledge, but a reality to participate in. It was a real life experience. It was not a once-a-year contemplation, but it was a day-to-day reality in the life of the early church. It was a power that was experienced by every Christian. It was the very life of the church. That's why it's so exhilarating to read through the book of Acts, because what we see is really the continuation of the life of Christ through a body of people. It was the experience of this resurrection power that brought the church out of the world and together as a living people. They had all been transformed by it. They all knew it, and they all believed it by the experience of their day-to-day life. There was a real power in this understanding. The Christian life is often explained in the New Testament as a union or a growing into the resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ. When we read the book of Acts, we can conclude this, that the power of the Christian life is really the power of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. It's an actual pouring in of power into the life and the experience of the believer. The Christian life has always been a supernatural life under the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is an apostle of the resurrection. He preached that the Christian life is generated by the resurrection power of Christ. He rightly believed that nothing in the Christian life on earth and in heaven is possible without the actual impartation of God's power into our souls. There is a real transfer of real resurrection power in the Christian life. Nothing in the Christian life happens without God's power moving. This is why, for example, when you read the history of the church, simple, weak people like ourselves were able to stand as mighty heroes. Even little girls of 13, 14 years old would confess the name of Christ when lions were about to be let loose to eat them up. People that were about to be placed on the stake to be burned were able to stand strong for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because they had somehow convinced themselves with a mighty conviction of their mind, but they were empowered by the Spirit of God. And so they were different. They're a different kind of people walking in a different kind of power. A careful study of the New Testament reveals that it is not only through the genuine power of the resurrection, that a believer receives the power over sins. That's Romans chapter 6. Without the power of the resurrection, a believer would never have any real or spiritual knowledge of God. It's a supernatural life. Without the power of the resurrection, there would be no real prayer. Prayer would just be a saying things to someone up there in the sky. But when we have the power of the resurrection in us, it becomes a real and living fellowship with God, because our eyes are opened to have fellowship with the living God. Without the power of the resurrection, there would be no life-giving preaching to the soul. Without the power of the resurrection, there would be no hope for evangelizing, because it needs to bring life into the soul. Without the resurrection, there would be no repentance, there would be no faith, there would be no regeneration. And so when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, it is much more than we're happy that Jesus is alive now. It is actually because he is alive, we can live. Because he rose from the dead, we can be brought into a newness of life that saves us from the death in which Adam and Eve's sin lunged us. We've been brought to a new experience of God through the resurrection. And so Romans 5:17 concludes with these words: the free gift of righteousness, that in that we would reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I think we could put a subtitle on the book of Acts and say, these are the Acts of the Apostles, the people who reigned in life through Jesus Christ. They were brought to a new kind of living, a life with their eyes open to God, fixed upon eternity, seeing God. And as they saw God, they moved through the world with the power of God and transformed a people that began to follow God, setting free of the power of sin, of the power of darkness, and bringing forth into a new life in Christ. The Christian reigns in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He reigns in life. The power of Jesus' resurrection has resurrected the believer to live in the midst of a dead world that lies in death and confusion and darkness and sin, to be raised from among them and to walk and see what life is really about, to see the God who made it all, to know him and to walk free from the bondage of darkness. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to give you an overview of the power of resurrection. For in the majestic chapters of Romans, to chapters 4 to 8, we see the revelation of what happens when a sinner meets the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. What happens when the dead, dry bones of Ezekiel 37 meet the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead? That's the core of the book of Romans. What happens when the Holy Spirit of God enters into a dead man and makes him live? Romans 4 to 8. And what Paul shows is that no matter how dead a sinner might be in a sin, no matter how far he has run, no matter how deep the darkness in his heart is, the power of God's resurrection can transform him into a justified saint who is on his or her way to glory. That's the resurrection in the life of human beings. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the repentant sinner is made right with God. He is justified. He is made alive with God. He is sanctified, and he is brought to God. Ultimately, he is glorified. And so this morning, what I want to show you is that how Paul connects this and how this is in the Christian life. The resurrection power of God is not only for glorification and one day we'll rise with him, but it's actually essential in justification, sanctification, and glorification. So we're made right with God through the resurrection. We walk with God through the resurrection, and we will be brought to God through the resurrection. So we will look at three passages for this. Let's begin with justification. And the thing that Paul says is this: without the resurrection, there would be no justification. Romans 4, 24 to 25 says this: but for ours also it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. Resurrection. Who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. Who was delivered up for our trespasses, that's Good Friday, and raised for our justification. He was brought out of death into life so that men might be justified before God. On Good Friday, Jesus was delivered up for our sins. He took our place. He bore the due penalty for our sins. He became the Passover lamb. But was it enough? Was God's wrath truly satisfied, or did his death fall short? Was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ brought sufficient for the incredible debt that we had mounted up to the skies of heaven? Jesus died under the hand of God's wrath and judgment. He died as he had my sins laid upon him. His body was laid in a tomb. Jesus had died in my place, but was it enough? Was Jesus' sacrifice enough? Was God pleased with the offer and sacrifice that Jesus had brought? Well, Romans 4:25 says Jesus our Lord was raised for our justification. On the third day he rose from the dead. Who raised him up? The Spirit of God raised him up. So here is Jesus. He dies. He lies in the grave. And we wonder, is it enough? What is the use of this death? On the third day, Jesus is raised from the dead by the eternal Spirit of God as evidence to show that it is enough, and God is fully pleased with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ brought. He is raised from the dead so that now he can stand and offer to all salvation, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus had conquered sin and death. He swallowed up death by his victory. So that as he rose from the dead, he now has the power over sin because he conquered sin. He has the power to forgive sins because he bore it and he now lives. And so he can bring forth his salvation to anyone who calls upon his name. Jesus conquered sin and he purchased justification as he arose from the dead. Jesus is alive today. He lives. He sees. He knows. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he has in his power the forgiveness of sins for all who come to him. The forgiveness of sins is found in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself is the one who grants forgiveness of sin. He is alive today to hear every man, every woman, every child who comes to him with a contrite heart and say, forgive me for my sins because I want to follow you. Every man, every woman, every child can come to the risen King to receive the forgiveness of every sin, of every thought, of every word, of every action, of every part of your life, because he lives to give life. Jesus was raised so we might be justified, and Jesus' resurrection is God's approval that the price was fully paid. There's not even the slightest rebuke left to those who are in Christ. When they stand before God, there's not even the smallest bit of sorrow or depression that the man that believes in Christ would have to face before that throne, that judgment seat. He is fully accepted because Jesus lives. Secondly, Jesus raised for sanctification. Romans 6, 1-4. Look at the power of resurrection. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Did you hear that? This is not speaking about heaven one day in the future. This is speaking about every believer in the here and the now. This is current Christian living. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's powerful. A new life. The resurrection does not only raise Jesus from the dead so he can justify us, and salvation, the resurrection of Jesus, also becomes the believer's resurrection. He comes to life. For the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible tells us, raises the believer from the deadness of his sin. There is a real, living, powerful from the Holy Spirit power in the Christian life to raise us up from the bondage of sin so we might walk in newness of life. Do you see that? This is not something far and distant away. This is not something we have to somehow meditate. Well, it's wonderful that Jesus lives. It's good for him that he rose from the dead. No. Well, yes. But it's good for us because now we live with him. The spiritual resurrection in this life is the evidence of justification. How does a believer know Jesus was raised for his justification, for his justification, for that believer's justification? Because the same Spirit has resurrected him out of his spiritual death into the spiritual life he now walks in. That's what this is speaking about. You know, in Romans chapter 3 and 4, it showed how we're justified. But now as we come to chapter 6, it shows, but we're not only, the record is not only taken away by Christ, but he actually infuses new life so that we're no longer under the bondage of sin we used to walk in. As Christ was raised from the dead, so we are raised from the deadness of the old man. Now, I want you to look to your Bibles and see what the resurrection does here in Romans 6, verse 1. What is the question that Paul seeks to answer in verse 1? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? As Christians, do we just continue on in our path of sin? The answer is no. Absolutely not, for we have been raised with Christ. We live by a new power, a new way, a new spirit. Paul is speaking about real power, a power that is found in no other place. It's not found in philosophy. It's not found in any other religion in the world. There is no power over sin. There's only trying to contain sin so that it doesn't show too much on the outside. But there is no power over sin in the heart outside of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one who has conquered sin and death through the resurrection. The power to overcome sin is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see that? I think it's crystal clear. in this passage here in Romans 6. For the New Testament church, the resurrection was not merely a doctrine that was to be believed. It was a reality in which they were to participate in. And so we can say it's Resurrection Sunday, not only in memory of what the Lord one day did. It's Resurrection Sunday because we are raised to newness of life, overcoming the power of sin in this world, destroying by the Spirit of God the bondage that was holding us in its grip. So the Resurrection Sunday is filled with power and life. Paul experienced the power of the resurrection daily as he walked by faith. Through the resurrection power of Jesus, Paul was overcoming the power and the bondage of his flesh. As Paul died through repentance, so Christ lived in Paul by faith. Have you ever thought about that? Paul turned from himself. He says, "I am crucified with Christ." Actually, let me read it to you here in Galatians 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ." Last Friday, when we hear the preaching of Christ upon the cross, I was leaning over to one of the pastors and I said, "We need to do another series next week of another 7 sermons, but now we need to talk about how we have been crucified with Christ." Right? We have died with him. Believing means to die with Christ and to raise to a newness of life. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is glorious. Do you see this? This is not, well, I believe that Jesus died and raised from the dead so that he's now alive, so that one day I can leave this earth and then go to heaven and that's my Christianity. No. Well, yes, part of it, but that's only the hope. That's not the day-to-day experience of the Christian life. The day-to-day experience is I have been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm a new man. That's Resurrection Sunday experience. And he goes on. "And the life I now live in the flesh," meaning in this body, he's not talking about I'm just living on in my sinful flesh as always. No, he's talking about his body. "The life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul's saying this. When I met the risen Christ, and I heard how he died for me, and how he now lives, when I turned to him, I was placed with him on the cross, and that is where old Paul still hangs, dead on the cross. And now I still live in the body, but I don't live Paul anymore. Christ lives in me. The risen Christ lives in me. This is the powerful reality of salvation. The Christian becomes one with Christ. As he dies with Christ, he no longer lives his own life. The I dies when I die with Christ. And the I is now replaced by Christ living in me. It's no longer, what do I want to do? But it's Christ, what are you doing for me to follow? So that Christ would live by his actual resurrection power through the Holy Spirit to lift me out of the deadness of my sin, to walk in a new way of life. So that you are no longer dominated by sin, dominated by the power of sin, but you're dominated by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ and you're struggling with a sin, you're thinking, I gotta fight this sin, I gotta somehow overcome this sin, I gotta wrestle it and wrestle it. Paul says in Colossians 3, don't wrestle your sin, kill it. Well, how do you kill it? By realizing it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives. It's no longer you trying to make yourself a better person. That's the worldly religions. It's you trying to wrestle with you, trying to make you a better you. But the whole problem is the first you that started it all. The Christian faith is this: I need to die so Christ might live in me. And as Christ lives in me, the I whom I hate with all its sin dies. And that is life, because Christ will live in me. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very power of the Christian life. It's what sets us free from the power of sin. It liberates us from the deadness of the old man, so that the New Testament boldly declares that true Christian walk in a new kind of life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, Romans 6:4, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You see, philosophy tries to figure, sees the problems, analyzes what's wrong, and can do a great deal in understanding about the problem of mankind, but what it cannot do is infuse external life into the soul that makes the soul a different kind of person. You need death and resurrection, but when the philosopher dies, he doesn't know how to raise himself again. But for us, if we believe in Christ, we die with Christ so that we're raised to newness of life, so that the life of Christ now lives in me. That is how we overcome the darkness of the human I and self and sin with all its bondage, its dead and resurrection. The Christian life is a daily walking with the Spirit of God. It's being guided by the Holy Spirit in a new way of living, a new power infused. My dear friends, do you know this life? Have you experienced a resurrection in your own heart? That's the question, isn't it? And that's the glory of Resurrection Sunday. Because if you look at it from a distance, it's beautiful that somebody can raise from the dead. Just like people were astonished that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And that's beautiful. And you can have a kind of exaltation of God and say, wonderful that he can do that. But the question is, have you experienced the power of new life in your own life? Have you been formed into a new creation, with new desires, with new longings? This is Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we feel, when we realize, when we meet God, from that moment on where we loved our sin, now we love the things of God. Where we longed for sin and hated righteousness, but we did it because we should do it. Now we love the things of God. We love the people of God. We love the Word of God. We love prayer because our heart has been transformed to walk in a newness of life. And the sin we used to love, we now despise and we hate because we have been made a new man. That is power. That is found in no other name. It's not found in the business world's inventions. It's not found in world politics. It's not found in the philosophies or religions of this world. Everybody sees the problem of sin, but nobody can deal with the deadness of a man's heart except when he turns to Christ. And Christ resurrects him to a newness of life. Do you know the power of God? As 2 Timothy 1:7 says, listen to this. Paul writes to Timothy, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." If you're struggling in your sin and you're outside and you realize, I don't have any power over sin, I'm lost, I'm dead, and I don't know what to do, what you need is this. You need a spirit in you, who is a spirit of power to overcome the deadness of your heart, a spirit of love that transforms you from within and makes you walk in a different way, and a spirit of self-control that is able to keep you within the limits of God's holy way of life. That's what you need. And that is what Christ offers to you, to all who come to Him. The law can refrain you, restrain you from external sin, but it cannot change the heart. It can tell you what you shouldn't do. In some ways, it can build a cage around you so that the wildness of your heart does not burst out too far. But it cannot change the heart. Only grace can. Only God can. The Spirit of God can do it through the power of the resurrection. For the true believer, it is Resurrection Sunday today. It is Resurrection Monday tomorrow. And it is Resurrection Tuesday. And then it's Resurrection Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and on and on and on. You know why? Because even though Jesus rose from dead once and lives, we rise with Christ continuously as we walk in a newness of life. For Christians, experience the life-giving power of Jesus Christ daily. Paul said, I crucify myself daily. I am daily crucified. I die daily. So he rises with Christ daily. And yet, even for the true believer, there is a dimension of the resurrection that we are yet to experience. There is a part, most holy, most glorious, most delightful, that we don't experience yet. But it is a sure hope. It's my third point. It's Romans 8, verse 10 to 11. But if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, we still have sinful inclinations in the body. The body is still dead. So we're, as it says earlier, and I will quote that later, we're still groaning in this wrestling against the deadness in the body. Although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you see that? Resurrection. Who raised Jesus from the dead. If that spirit dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What he is saying is this. If you have the Spirit in you, you have that life, that initial life in you by which you are free from the bondage of sin, so your heart is transformed, you have a new desire, a new will, a new heart, and yet you still have an outer shell, so to speak, a mortal body that still has deadness in it. And so you're groaning in this, oh, I wish that I would be altogether holy. If that spirit dwells in you, you can be certain that he will finish the work. The Christian already has Christ in him. They already experience and taste the kingdom of God, and yet they still have a body that has deadness in it. And so there's this groaning, this longing to be full and total God. God's will. It is this dead body that will one day be raised to life through the Spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8:23 says the same thing. It says, and not only the creation that is groaning, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. What he's saying is this. We already taste the resurrection life. We have the first fruits of the Spirit of the resurrection. We already experience that life-giving stream in us. But we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Earlier, he says, we've already been adopted. We have the Spirit of adoption crying, Abba, Father. And yet there is a part in us that we're still to be fully adopted. We will one day receive a new body where every form and trace of sin is wiped away. That we don't only have a newness of life, but a new body, a new, total new creation. Believers are raised to spiritual life on earth, and so they taste the kingdom to come. But there is still an actual entering with the body into that kingdom. There is a bodily resurrection awaiting, and then at that resurrection of the dead, both the inner man and the outer man will have been raised to life. Then, if you have Christ in you, this is the hope. You can worship God with a pure heart, without any temptation, without any wrong, distraction, or inclination. You can worship Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the greatest joy of heaven. That is the Christian joy of heaven, a longing to worship Him in the worship that is due to Him. The redemption of the body. I want to put this together because this is crucial that you see all this together. So first of all, through the resurrection and justification, the conscience is cleansed from sin. The Holy Spirit grants us peace that passes all understanding and the conviction that we are cleansed. Jesus' resurrection gives us a clean conscience. Our sins are wiped away. Secondly, through the power of the resurrection and sanctification, our inner man is raised. We have a new heart and experience life in a new way, and we inwardly experience the power of the resurrection, so we are set free from the bondage of sin, and we truly rejoice in the holiness and the love of God inwardly. And thirdly, through the power of the resurrection and glorification, the outer man will be redeemed, so we will never experience temptation, because there is no seed or bed that takes it, that desires it, and every form of temptation and sin, or even the smell of a distant sin, will be gone. If somebody would tempt us, it wouldn't even stick to us, even for 1 millisecond, to the mind, because our bodies will have been redeemed. And so we will receive a body like Christ's body, a body free from any inclination to sin and filled with a holy desire to all that is God. And so, my dear friends, rightly the author of Hebrews wrote these words, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" I hope you see, or at least begin to taste, the magnitude of the resurrection, the life and the joy and the power of the resurrection. See, when I look at Good Friday, it makes my heart warm to see the love of Christ. And my heart is at the same time crushed to see the weight that He bore, and at the same time warmed with the love that He displayed. But when it comes to the resurrection, it's glory. It's life, and enter Him, and knowing Him, and seeing Him, and tasting Him, and hoping Him, and delighting in Him, and walking with Him, and being renewed by Him. That's life. That's what we see in the spring, right? To you have the blessed wisdom of growing flowers in your garden. And every year you see what life means when it breaks through the ground and it opens up and it gives its aroma, and you smell it and you see it and you delight in it and you realize the power of life. That's the resurrection, the power of life. Hebrews 2 continues, it was declared at first by the Lord and it was attested to by those who hear it. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The resurrection enters us into a whole new life by the Spirit gifted by him, not only brought to life, but a fullness of life, of walking with him, seeing his mighty miracles and signs and wonders displayed in our inner being and in the life around us. Oh, let us not neglect so great salvation. Be sure ye that you do not miss the resurrection. To those of you who know the power of the resurrection, who have experienced this new life, rejoice, for great is your hope. Walk by faith and not by sight. You have experienced some of his resurrection power, but there is more. Paul prays for the church that they might know the fullness of the power. There's more of his resurrection power. There is a life, and you look at yourself and you realize, I'm a different man, but there are ways to grow. There are miles to run. There are joys sweeter to wait ahead if you press on. There is greater freedom to experience. There's greater light to be seen. There's greater glories and joys to be tasted. You've only begun. Now run. Let the world be crucified to you so that you might live with Christ while on earth. To those who have not yet experienced this new life, oh, in some ways, if your heart is open, I envy you. Because there is a joy that you are invited into and experience a life, a peace and a holiness that is calling your very own name. There's an invitation calling, come to me, call upon my name, and you will taste the sweetness in heaven while on earth. Come, drink, and be satisfied. Christ is calling your name. Rise up from the dead. Do you hear, O dead Lazarus? Do you hear the voice of the Son of God calling, rise, step forth, come forth? For those who seek it with a humble and contrite heart will most certainly find it. But you must seek. Jesus says, strive to enter the narrow gate. There is a seeking that is required to find. There is a knocking and an asking to receive this life of the Holy Spirit. But if you seek him, oh, there has never been a more joyful finding than those who have found Christ. So seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Ask, it will be answered. He always does. If you seek him with all your heart, you will. Guaranteed, find him, but don't give up. Don't seek half-heartedly. Seek like mothers used to seek. When they're putting the whole house upside down to find that one coin, lift up every couch, search with all your heart, with all your mind, delve into the scriptures, call upon his name, and you will find him. Strive to enter the narrow gate, for there are many who will try to enter but will not be able. There are many who don't strive but casually look around and then continue on their path in the world, who are then satisfied with their life and just keep lingering on. Don't be like those, but seek as one who must find, and you will find. For the children, you must seek Christ with all your heart until you find him. God has never placed in his Bible an age limit to finding Christ. If you seek him with all your heart and you long to be saved, you search for him and you will find him. If you're honest before God, you'd be surprised what God can do in your little lives. He's not far. You know, he doesn't say, let the old folks come to me, even though they should come. He doesn't say, let the adults come, but he said, let the children come to me. It's almost like Jesus stooping down. He says, let the little ones come first. So if you're a little one, seek, and you will find. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you a new heart and a new life. And if you're an old child, a 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, compared to God, you're like a little child. Come as a child, and you will find salvation for your soul, because he loves to save. Jesus traveled from heaven to earth to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're lost, he's seeking you. Turn to him and you will live. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how majestic is your word. Father, it is amazing that we read a book so old, yet more alive than anything else in all creation, able to raise the dead to life, to give new life from young to old, that all might come. Father, I pray that you call your people home. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.